కృష్ణ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్. పర ఆడితే ప్రాజ్ఞ మీన్స్ బుద్ధిమాన్. ఉత్సృజేత్ వన్ షుడ్ రినౌన్స్ ఫర్ ద అల్టిమేట్ ప్లెజర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఓన్లీ. అండ్ దెన్ హీ సేయింగ్ వై సంబడి మే సే వై షుడ్ వన్ గివ్ అప్ ఆల్ వన్స్ వెల్త్, వేర్ డస్ గాడ్ సే గివ్ అప్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. సమ్ పీపుల్ సే లైక్ దాట్. యాక్చువల్లీ వీ డోంట్ గివ్ అప్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ గో టు హిమాలయాస్. దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ అవర్ ప్రొసీజర్. హీ సేస్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు గివ్ ఇట్ టు కృష్ణ. జస్ట్ లైక్ ఇన్ దట్ వర్స్ ఐ టోల్డ్ యూ, అనాశిత కర్మఫలం కార్యం కర్మ కరోతి. ఈ సేయింగ్ వన్ షుడ్ యాక్ట్, బట్ హౌ షుడ్ వన్ యాక్ట్? వన్ షుడ్ యాక్ట్ ఇన్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఓన్లీ. లైక్ హీ సేస్ కార్యం కర్మ కరోతి స సన్యాసి చ యోగి చ నా నిరగ్ని రచక్రియ. వన్ హూ డస్ నాట్ లిట్ అప్ ఫైర్, వన్ హూ డస్ నాట్ డూ ఎనీ యాక్టివిటీ, వన్ హూ బికమ్స్ ఐడిల్, హీ ఈస్ నాట్ అ సన్యాసి. ఈ సేయింగ్ యాక్చువల్లీ సమ్ టైమ్ పీపుల్ థింక్ సాధు మీన్స్ సంబడి హూ సిట్టింగ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ సమ్ ట్రెడిషనల్ టెంపుల్స్ విత్ సమ్ భిక్షాపాత్ర, యూనో, గెటింగ్ సమ్ కాయిన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ లైక్ పారాసైట్స్ ఆన్ సొసైటీ, సైకోఫాయింట్స్ ఆర్ పారాసైట్స్. సో దట్ ఈస్ వై పీపుల్ కండెమ్ ద రిలీజియస్ పీపుల్ హూ బికమ్ అ బర్డన్ ఆన్ సొసైటీ, సింప్లీ లివింగ్ ఆన్ బెగ్గింగ్ అండ్ ఈటింగ్. వేర్ యాజ్ ప్రభుపాద్ షో టు ద వరల్డ్ రియల్ సన్యాసి ఇస్ నాట్ దాట్. రియల్ సన్యాసి, వాట్ ఆర్ హిస్ క్యారెక్టరిస్టిక్స్, వాట్ ఆర్ హిస్ సిమ్టమ్స్, వెరీ క్లియర్లీ హెస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్. రియల్ సన్యాసి మీన్స్ యూ షుడ్ గివ్ సమ్ కాంట్రిబ్యూషన్ టు సొసైటీ. లైక్ హీ హ్యాస్ టు గివ్ సమ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లిటరేచర్. ప్రభుపాద్ ప్రింటెడ్ మోర్ దాన్ 100 బుక్స్. హీ హ్యాస్ టు టీచ్ పీపుల్ హౌ టు వర్షిప్ ద లార్డ్ ఇన్ ద టెంపుల్. హీ హ్యాస్ టు టీచ్ పీపుల్ హౌ టు క్లీన్ దర్ హార్ట్స్ బై చాంటింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్. హీ హ్యాస్ టు గివ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఫర్ ఎన్లైటన్మెంట్, నాట్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఫర్ ఎంటాంగిల్మెంట్. నౌడేస్ యూ ఫైండ్ నౌ ద మెటల్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఫర్ ఎంటాంగిల్మెంట్. అండ్ వాట్ సైంట్లీ పర్సన్ గివ్స్ ఇస్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఫర్ ఎన్లైటన్మెంట్. ఎన్లైటన్మెంట్ అండ్ ఎలివేషన్, మోడర్న్ డే మెటల్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఇస్ ఫర్ ఎంటాంగిల్మెంట్ అండ్ డిగ్రేడేషన్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వే ట్రూ సన్యాసి ఇస్ వన్ హూ helps the lost children of God, the lost sons of God, to get connected back to God. And by that connection, brings happiness in the entire society, for all the people. Somebody asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, what is the goal of your movement? Prabhupada said, to make everyone happy. He said, Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschit dukkha bhavet. This is a very famous statement in the Vedic literature. So to make everyone happy. How? We cannot pamper the people. Sometimes a politician says, if you give vote for me, we will open a cinema theater in your village. Or we will open a liquor shop in your village. That is not making happy. How long can we keep people happy with those dirty things? The true method of making people happy is to give them Krishna. So that is actually the meaning of satnyas. సన్నిమిత్తే వరం, వరం మీన్స్ శ్రేష్టం. సన్నిమిత్తే వరం త్యాగో వినాశే నియతే సతి. యు సీ, ఇఫ్ దర్ ఇస్ సమ్ నైస్ ప్రసాద్ ఫ్రెష్లీ కుక్డ్, ఇట్ ఇస్ సర్వ్డ్ హాట్ జస్ట్ నౌ, భోగ ఇస్ ఆఫర్డ్ టు కృష్ణ అండ్ ద ప్రసాద్ హస్ కమ్ అవుట్, వన్ షుడ్ ఈట్ ఇట్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ ఈట్ ఇట్ అండ్ కీప్ ఇట్ ఫర్ 2 డేస్, 3 డేస్, ఇట్ గెట్స్ స్పాయిల్డ్. సిమిలర్లీ దిస్ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ, వెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ యంగ్ అండ్ ఎనర్జెటిక్ అండ్ ఫ్రెష్ and full of vigor and vitality, one should use it in Krishna service. And if you don't use this body in Krishna service, what happens? It just gets older and older and older, and then it becomes jirnam, as Krishna says. What is jirnam? Old. Vasamsi? Yeah, that means body becomes old, completely old, and then you cannot use it in Krishna service anymore. As the body gets older, as one crosses 70, 80, one cannot use. So the Vedic literature, Prabhupada often used to talk lectures on this, 4 ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas, many places. So Prabhupada also followed that pattern. And then when he was crossing 50, Prabhupada was very conscious that I also would like to become more seriously dedicated to preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world on the order of my Guru. So what I am intending to do today, after Prabhupada crossed 50, there are some sections of his life. how he was building up the seriousness before taking sannyas. And that part is worth contemplating for brahmacharis also and everybody. Because what we need in our spiritual life is an inspiration, a drive, the missionary spirit, which will actually help us to... The goal of renunciation is not renunciation itself. The goal of renunciation is to please Guru and Krishna. So how Prabhupada renounced the world and how did he engage in Krishna service? So that becomes very self-evident as we see his life passing. So Prabhupada used to write many articles in Back to Godhead magazine. So I will just tell you some quotes of some of the articles that he was writing in those days for enlightening the people. When Prabhupada saw the war, actually Prabhupada said, I have answers to all the questions of the world, like war, like corruption, like hunger, and malpractices, for everything. So Prabhupada was thinking, as soon as something happens in the world, immediately Prabhupada would use that recent episode for giving answers from the Vedic literature. Like I'll tell you, for example, here. You see, there was one lecture was held in a college. When Abhay was also in the college, you know, Scottish Church College. So they had announced the lecture with a very nice title. The title was Vidyaratna, the Jewel of Education. That's the title they gave. Just like this, Oh My God. When they gave the name Oh My God, many religious people thought, Oh My God, maybe something related to God. At least some nice movie we'll go and see. But it's an atheistic movie. Simply, in the name of criticizing religion, they are making crores of rupees by spreading godlessness. Similarly, this one, Vidyaratna, name appears like a very Sanskrit name, nice name, Jewel of Education. So Prabhupada also went for the lecture along with many other students. And what happened there? The theme of the lecture was God does not exist and could not exist. If there was God, you know, there would not have been so much religious rivalry between Hindus, Muslims, and fight cannot be there. Because God did not take any action on this quarrel between Hindu Muslims, so God doesn't exist. This kind of atheistic propaganda was done in that lecture. It was a 1 hour lecture. Prabhupada also happened to be there. Later on, Prabhupada wrote that. So here Prabhupada is writing, see, in his articles he wrote, Abhay understood that the personality of Godhead exists in every sphere of activity, as he heard from his spiritual master. Even if the Lord, he's saying, Lord is present everywhere, but we do not have the eyes to see him. He's writing. Even if Lord personally manifests himself on earth, the quarreling mundaners will not stop their fighting and look upon Godhead or his representative due to ignorance. This is the birthright of the individual soul by the grace of God. Bhagavad Gita is a true Vidyaratna, Prabhupada wrote. So this Vidyaratna is not nonsense Vidyaratna which talks about atheism, but the true Vidyaratnam is what? Bhagavad Gita. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, he declares to the fighting people on the earth, here I am, do not quarrel. The agnostic who had spoken of the Vidyaratna had been blinded by the jewel and therefore could not see and appreciate the personality of Godhead. Thus he had gone on to convince others to become so-called jewels also. But following his spiritual master, this one, Agarpati, tell him to keep it. Abhay displayed an aggressive spirit for confronting all opponents of pure theism. Abhay was not simply making a neutral scholarly presentations. He was willing and ready to fight, whether against modern agnostics or Vaishnavism's old traditional enemy, which is Mayavad impersonalism. So, in India, when the British were ruling, they were actually trying to destroy the faith of the people in their own Indian Vedic cultural spiritual heritage. And they wanted them to get converted to Christianity. So, when Prabhupada's times, when such kind of... There were also atheistic fellows, just like modern times, that time also there were atheistic fellows. And Prabhupada would write confronting articles. He was never neutral or, you know, taking a soft stand. He was ready to confront them head on by writing opposing articles. Actually, this is something very revolutionary, because generally it is thought in the educational circles that religious people are mild and the religious people always keep themselves in the background. They don't show off in the public, and the atheists are very bold and daring. So Prabhupada wanted to disprove this point. So he said, you say God doesn't exist, I say God exists, I will give evidence now, you give your evidence now. So Prabhupada would confront them, like the Vidyaratna was a bogus meeting. So Prabhupada confronted, which is a clue to all of us also. We oftentimes can easily preach to the religious-minded, pious people who will not raise any opposition. But not raising opposition is not a sign of very great advancement. It may be sentimental and blind belief. So those who are opposing should be confronted, and they should be put in their place by being given the right understanding also. So Prabhupada would do like that. Prabhupada writes, although there was already more than 600 commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, but those Gita commentaries were written by persons with an inner hatred for the personality of Godhead, is saying. Inner hatred means what? Envy. People who write commentaries to Bhagavad Gita with envy for Krishna, how can they give real commentary? They will keep Krishna and Arjuna aside. Such envious persons have no entrance into the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita, just like a fly cannot enter the covered jar of honey. So Prabhupada actually was very clearly presenting, like I was coming in the train from Kanpur to Pune. One group of headmasters were sitting in the train, 4 or 5 headmasters and some teachers. So one of them was telling me, I was correcting a value education book and he was a little interested. So I was telling him, he asked me, Swamiji, I got a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is. He said, I said, wonderful, very nice, you got it. I have read this Bhagavad Gita, but before that I was reading some yogis' Bhagavad Gita commentary, who teaches us that you can get some yogic powers. So I am more interested in Ashtanga Yoga and getting some yogic powers, but when I read Swami Prabhupada's book, he seems to say something else there. He says that, we should not chase after this yogic powers and all. We should do bhakti. Why? He was asking. Then I was telling bhakti mukti siddhi kami sakalaya shanta krishna bhakti nishkama. So 1 hour we had a talk, at the end of which he was very convinced. He said, now I understand why Swami Prabhupada is rejecting all this bhakti mukti siddhi, everything. So this is the beauty of Prabhupada's writings. He actually enlightened people and elevated them to a deeper and higher understanding even before. See here, the sannyasis were impressed by the scope of Abhay's thought and intentions. That means the sannyasis in Gaudiya Math were watching. Oh, this Abhay is so intelligent. He is giving such nice writings and presentations. So, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, he wanted to confer upon Abhay the title Bhakti Siddhanta. Actually, Bhakti Saranga Maharaj wanted to call our Prabhupada as what? Bhakti Siddhant Goswami. But some people naturally objected. They said already our Guru Maharaj is called Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur. Again, how can you give him Bhakti Siddhant the title? It's a very big title. They felt like that. Sridhar Maharaj, however, thought it inappropriate to give Abhay the same title as their spiritual master. And then he asked that Abhay's title be changed to Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti meaning devotion and Vedanta meaning end of knowledge. Correct, no? Yeah. And Abhay was grateful. So that's how Abhay came to be called as Bhakti Vedanta from that time. That's why Tridandi Goswami A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, like that we write. So this title was conferred upon him. And Sridhar Maharaj was a very close friend to our Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was preaching. Now one particular section, another section I'll read. Okay. Here, this is the first time the talk about sannyas comes in Prabhupada's life. Prabhupada has been writing articles like this. Here, the first talk comes here. See. One night, Abhay had an unusual dream. Say one more thing about the back to Godhead here. One more thing. After two issues of back to Godhead, Abhay had to stop. Why he had to stop? Because he didn't have money. He printed two copies of back to Godhead, two issues. Printing was costly, but he kept writing regularly, working at Gita Upanishad, turning out new articles and philosophical purports on scriptures. So he had a lot of articles written to publish, but he had no money to publish. One night, Abhay had an unusual dream. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared, him beckoning. Take sannyas, he told him. And then Abhay suddenly got up in an emotional, intensely emotional state. How horrible, he thought. Taking sannyas, it's not something I can do it immediately, he thought, because I have to improve my business, and with the profits I want to print books. So how I can take sannyas now? It was only a dream. So he went on with his duties, but he was a little shaken by the dream in which his guru ordered him to take sannyas. Because he thought he wasn't qualified at that time, but actually he was highly qualified. He thought twice before taking, but this is the first dream he got in 1945. So then he actually, then there is a mention about his business at that time, what was the situation. See, this section of his life is very important because how Prabhupada gradually went ahead towards sannyas, it was not an overnight thing. It was a conviction building in his heart. And why did he take sannyas? Many people ask, he could have practiced in Grihastashram also. Why he took sannyas? That's mentioned here. So 1945, the war was over. And then India was still in turmoil and all. And then there was a good opportunity to make his business more successful. So in Lucknow, Prabhupada rented a building and opened his own factory, Abhay Charan Day and Sons. He opened one company. Where? In Lucknow. And he made a very major investment. 40,000 rupees to start. In those days, 40,000 rupees means what do you think? Now, it will be practically lakhs or crores now. 40,000 rupees in those days means crores. So Prabhupada invested. And then he began on a large scale, in a very large scale he started. See, Prabhupada had one servant at home called as Gauranga, but his wife and sons wanted to keep Gauranga at home only. But Prabhupada wanted him to come and help in business, but they were not sending from Calcutta. So Prabhupada had one operation of his business in Lucknow and one in Calcutta also. But Lucknow one was a huge one. You need somebody trustworthy, no, to run business. You know, next to you, so much money you have to handle. So Prabhupada called his wife and said, please send him. They said, no, we cannot send. There is so much work to be done at home. So in his business front also, he didn't get any help from the family that's mentioned. So the two interests, family and preaching, were conflicting. His wife had shown no interest in back to Godhead. She seemed to work against his enthusiasm, both for publishing and for earning. The business was called Abhay Charan Day and Sons, and yet the sons were disinclined to help. Actually, Prabhupada had five sons, and Prabhupada thought that if some of them come and assist me in my business, then they can do the business and I can focus on writing and publishing. But sons were not coming. They said, we have our own thing to do. And then he wanted the servant, and servant also was not coming. His wife said that he has to work at home. So, what was the use? The family was interested neither in backing him in his business nor in taking up life of devotion service. And since his business was primarily an outcome of his family life, he resented that he had to give it's so much of his energy. Now here is a comparison made between Prabhupada's family and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family. Here, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, his family was a source of spiritual encouragement. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Bhagavati Devi, she was standing 64 rounds every day. Can you imagine? Along with 10 children. We don't know how she managed. Huh? Even Brahmacharis cannot stand 64 every day with their services. That was his wife. And all his 10 children were devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. And one of them was Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur. Powerful children. That's why he says, you know, Edi na grihe bhajana deki grihe te goloko bhai. He says, no? When I return home, I see my home transformed into golok. Children playing mridangam, kartal, harmonium, singing. So I see goloka in my home. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's family was a source of spiritual encouragement. And he used his social position to advance his preaching also. Both were advantages for him. He was a high court magistrate, very respectable in the community. When he wrote books, many educated, allied people were very happy to receive a copy from him with his signature. And then they would read and they would touch their hearts. So he used his social position to promote knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And at home also he got spiritual encouragement. But Abhay's experience had been different. The two paths seemed to be at war, each threatening the other's existence. He felt himself operating somewhat like the materialist he had criticized in his writings, absorbed in the struggle for existence with insufficient time for self-realization. See, this is very important. Even as in a devotee's life, we have our practical services to do and we have our development of Krishna consciousness. Actually, we should be successful in both, ideally speaking. Once Krishna consciousness should be blossoming more and more, developing more and more. And once practical contribution to the ISKCON society should also become more and more. You have to watch how both are expanding. Now, sometimes they both can be at war, conflict. How? Sometimes we want to do something very practical services for the movement a lot, and then the development of spiritual development of the individual is at stake. Because that is at stake, then the contribution to society also becomes affected. Then finally, both are suffering. You understand, no? So like that, Prabhupada found, neither his back to Godhead writing and printing was happening, nor business was happening, and the family was not cooperating in either of them. Although his family made more and more demands of him, they were saying, send money, we want more money. See, they are asking for more money also, but they are not sending servant, they are not coming to help sons also. So they made more demands. He was feeling less inclined to work for them and more inclined to preach Krishna consciousness. It was a predicament. He could only push on diligently, support his family, expand his business and hope for a great success so that he could revive his publishing. But the Lucknow factory seemed almost beyond his means. He had purposely began a large scale with the aim of making large profit in a short time. But the monthly expenses were very high. I was falling behind in paying the rent. He was involved in a court case with the landlord. Although he was visiting Calcutta regularly and shipping the raw materials from Calcutta to Lucknow daily, he was always found that family members in Calcutta were uncooperative. Like that he's saying. So, this was the situation. I have started my work here in a fairly big scale. He's writing a letter. You have seen that with your own eyes. If there is no income, who will spend for the court? Interrogation. Everything is on my head. The brother and sons are all just eating and sleeping like a bunch of females. He's writing. And breaking the axe on my head. So he's saying to Gauranga, you go home as soon as you get money and try to come back as soon as possible. So in this way, sometimes, Prabhupada later on says, sometimes Krishna creates unpleasant situation in material life in order to turn the devotee towards his lotus feet. So, of course, Prabhupada is a great acharya. His eyes are always in Krishna's lotus feet. But sometimes through such leelas, they teach the world how sometimes the material life of a devotee is stunted. And the stunting of the material life becomes anukul for progress in bhakti, spiritual progress. So that is about his. Then later on also Prabhupada continued, he thought if I cannot print magazines, I can write letters to leaders. So he started writing letters to Gandhi. So that's the letter he wrote to Gandhi. So elaborately is written, beautiful letter to Gandhi. So Prabhupada was doing those things. And then when Gandhi passed away, Gandhi's Memorial National Fund, they didn't know how to use it. They asked all the public, tell us some ideas how to use Gandhi's, in Gandhi's memory we have some money to spend. So Prabhupada gave wonderful ideas to the Gandhi Memorial Fund people. He said, in every school in India, institute daily prayers from Bhagavad Gita. He said, every morning children should assemble in the gathering and they should hear one shloka from Bhagavad Gita and hear some explanation to that. And for that sake, what you do? Distribute Bhagavad Gita to all school children in India with that money. It's the first idea I gave. Second, he said, reorganize all the temples of India as vital spiritual centers. He said, there are lane to lane, there are temples in India. But they are just ringing bell and doing aarti without giving any knowledge. Make it as a vital spiritual centers, which means giving people Krishna Naam, Krishna Prasad and all those things, Krishna Darshan, Krishna Shiksha and everything. Revive the temples. Spend this money to make the temples like educational centers. Then he said, don't rubber stamp the ordinary people as Harijans. Do a systematic program to elevate the lower class of people. So he said, elevating lower class is not only giving them cloth and food. You have to give them Bhagavad Gita, knowledge and the holy name, elevate them. So Prabhupada was writing and giving ideas. You see, even if you don't have money, you can always give ideas, no? That doesn't cost any money. Because Prabhupada thought, I don't have money to print now. But he was giving ideas to, you know, spend the government, you know, Gandhian money. Yeah. See, Prabhupada is writing articles. Man, due to his neglect of Supreme Lord, is being punished by material nature, which is directly controlled by Supreme Lord. See, these are all core principles that Prabhupada taught in all his small books. What Prabhupada says, all living entities in the material world are under the clutches of Maya, and that Maya is under the control of Krishna. So if you surrender to Krishna, Maya will release her clutches on you. This is one of the basic teachings that Shastras give. Prabhupada used to talk it over and over wherever he went. Actually, we are under the control of Maya and Maya is under the control of Krishna. Mama Maya Adurateya. So surrender to Krishna and gain release from Maya. And as long as you are in Maya, if one trouble goes, another trouble quickly follows. But if you put Krishna first, then all other concerns are taken care. So this kind of articles he was writing. So ancient culture. So Prabhupada says, modern asuras are like Hitler. He has written articles. So Prabhupada was very practical. So there are many, many articles Prabhupada is publishing here in this. And another thing about Prabhupada, he was always observing the world outside. Once he was traveling in a train, he saw the men were smoking cigarettes. And also from the window he saw some boys, chai, 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 chai. That is the time it started. And the chai was introduced by whom? Britishers. It was never in India before because chai contains nicotine. It's a drug. Prabhupada felt pity. Just see, Indians are getting spoiled, polluted by this chai sale. They are smoking cigarettes. Everywhere young people were smoking cigarettes in those days also. And Prabhupada saw many women were traveling alone, which was unheard of in India, which goes to show the Western culture is coming into India, even in those times, 1965. Now, it has gone way ahead now. So Prabhupada used to be a good observer. So once when he went to his visit in Calcutta, Prabhupada went to stay in the father-in-law's house, where his wife was also there. When Prabhupada, they had, actually there was one room given to Prabhupada there by his father-in-law, so that whenever he comes he can stay, do his writing or whatever. But Prabhupada observed, his wife had not cooked anything. When she served him dinner, everything was brought from a hotel. So he asked her, why? Why food is not cooked here? What is this? So she was telling, the cook is sick today. She's telling. So Abhay was thinking, it is better that we not leave her at home of her father, or else she will be spoiled even more. He said, so he immediately moved his family to a new address in Calcutta after that. And then he started writing more and more articles, doing minimal business now. But most of the times Prabhupada stayed in Allahabad. So Allahabad and Lucknow, he was doing his business. See, here he is writing an article about Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas. In the final division, the Sannyas Ashram, man places his wife in the care of a grown son and fully dedicates himself to serving the Supreme Lord. Formerly, the Sannyas Ashram meant a solitary life of penances in the Himalayas. But in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had emphasized preaching. Now, Abhay appeared to be living more as a Vanaprastha than a Grihastha. Now already he was like Vanaprastha only now. He saw his business failures and his distasteful family situations as Krishna's blessings, freeing him from family responsibilities and turning him wholeheartedly towards executing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order to preach. He's saying. So this is the meaning of a devotee. A devotee takes all situations as anukul for going towards Krishna. If Krishna sends a lot of money, use it in Krishna's service. If Krishna gives a failure, then let the failure encourage the devotee to take firm shelter of Krishna. Like that. See, these are all thoughts of Prabhupada. Why should he waste time with petty family problems when he held answers to the problems of India and the whole world? See, he had a small family. But then whole India and whole world was waiting for answers. And he had the answers. So why should he be stuck in a family? He was thinking like that. As a knower of Bhagavad Gita, he felt that his first obligation was to offer solutions to the complex crisis of war, hunger, immorality, crime, all these different symptoms of godless society, godlessness. And if dedicating himself to such work meant that the other lesser responsibilities suffered, there was no loss. He thought like that. So in this way, these are the different... here is one nice section. You see what Prabhupada says. The national leaders of India were paving the way for a westernized India. They wanted the kingdom of God without God. He's saying. They wanted a progressive industrialized India without Krishna. I heard that Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, he went to this big Srirangam temple and said, such a huge area, they have a temple. How nice if they can convert this whole place into a big factory. He was telling. Another lecture I heard Prabhupada saying, he came to Vrindavan for some other work. And he stayed there 2 full days and he says he never visited a single temple in Vrindavan. He says, although he stayed 2 full days there. So Prabhupada says that this is the leadership of India at that time, he says. See, we are not for any party or against any party. But we have to say the facts, Prabhupada says. So Gandhi's, vision and Nehru's vision is diametrically opposed. One big mistake that Gandhi did was, he was renouncing the post and position. Without accepting the leadership of India. Gandhi thought that he will just be an advisor to any leader he would put in India. So Nehru appeared like a very loyal disciple of Gandhi, but Nehru had completely different view. What is the different view? Gandhi's view was everybody should use charka at home and make their own Swadeshi clothes. We should not buy Videshi clothes at all. They would use the khadi clothes. And he encouraged people to live in villages. And the whole India should ban cow killing completely. And we should encourage all people to go to temples, including the Harijans and the downtrodden. They should not be rejected. Why only the Brahmana should have God? Let everybody have God. And there should be cooperation between Hindus and Muslims. And people should follow non-violence. People should not hurt each other, harm each other. There should be no religious communal riots. There should be no killing of cows or any other animals. People should live peaceful. And people should lead truthful lives. And people should live lives of character. People should have respect for parents. And so Gandhi had many, many wonderful things very close to pure religion. And that is why Prabhupada was telling Gandhi, you know, if you get a Vaishnava guru finished, you will become a great Vaishnava. And you are already father of nation. You already have many good principles. If you meet a Vaishnava guru like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then your life, then you are already father of nation, the whole India can become Vaishnavas, simply looking at you. But Gandhi somehow was too busy. I heard that 18 hours a day, he would be walking to different villages during the day, Gandhi, meeting people, inspiring them to follow the Swadeshi movement and all that. But if you see, Nehru and his father, Motilal Nehru, they would, according for them, India is worst. Anything foreign is best. They would get all foreign commodities only. They had American chauffeur, American watchman also. So they were actually delighting in foreign goods. And for them, progress in India means westernized India. Today also, do you see people like that? Correct, no? You all come across people like, who say that, you know, what is this, you know, religion and all these things, orthodoxy, you know, it will limit our progress. Progress means huge supermarket, huge shopping malls, huge big housing colonies, big cars, and people wearing glamorous dresses, and men and women allowed to mix freely. And you can smoke, you can drink, you can put up parties, you go to star hotels, big cinema theatres, and people living something very close to Western life. They consider this a sign of progress. People externally giggling, laughing, joking, but internally crying. So like smiling face and crying hearts, we say. So this is considered a sign of progress by modern people nowadays. So Prabhupada also found there was a stark difference between Gandhi's way of operating and Nehru's way of operating. And the biggest blunder Gandhi did was to post Nehru. When Nehru came to post, and Nehru thought he will make a progressive India without God. You can see that. And that is how, because of the wrong leadership, the whole blind leading the blind, all falling into ditch. It happened like that. So Prabhupada is observing these things. See, now Prabhupada is advertising in newspaper. Wanted, candidates from any nationality to qualify themselves as real Brahmins for preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for all practical purposes throughout the world. Deserving candidates will be provided with free boarding and lodging. Apply, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta, founder and secretary of League of Devotees, Bharati Bhavan. She's advertising in paper. Basically, it's advertising for PTC course. PTC training. So it's advertising in paper. So Prabhupada expected that some young boys will come and join and he can train them. So you know what was actually Prabhupada's plan in Jhansi? He will advertise like this, a few people will come, he will train them and take them to America along with him. That was his plan actually. So then there is a message, information about Prabhakar Mishra, who was telling Prabhupada that he became attracted to Prabhupada. But then the problem with Prabhakar Mishra and all these people, they were more or less pious and sentimental, and they were giving very superficial respect without any deep connectivity to Prabhupada. They were not having missionary spirit to do something great for Prabhupada. So here there is one Shastri. Dr. Shastri is a doctor in Jhansi. So he said to Prabhupada that I will help you in putting up some programs in Jhansi. So Shastri is saying here, you know what he says? In his heart, always it was burning that the whole world was suffering in the materialistic view. Everyone is busy in eat, drink and be merry. So the whole day, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was touring and preaching his mission that was prescribed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Guru Maharaj. He was having iron will determination and self-confidence about his mission. He was always preaching, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. And he was always discussing, sometimes he was discussing the whole night, he's saying. And he was discussing with me, and sometimes I was fed up. I was requesting, please don't disturb me, please let me sleep. And he, the old man, missionary worker, he was just like a young man. I was a young chap, and he was just like my friend, my elder brother. So Prabhupada's age was double the age of Dr. Shastri. So he would talk all night sometimes about preaching plans. He was like my guide and teacher, because the preacher is a friend, philosopher and guide, he says. Whole Bhagavata was his practical life. His mission was not a mission of preaching only, but of practical action. See, this is the point. Prabhupada was not just preaching knowledge. He wanted... See, this is one speciality of Prabhupada. When he first saw this Bharati building, Bharati Bhavan, as soon as he looked at the building, he immediately went in and thought, this place can be for kitchen, this can be for the altar, this can be for a book stall, and this place can be Brahmacharya Ashram, and this place can be for the people to come and congregate because the hall is a big hall. Imagine if Prabhupada came to this building where we are right now. Surely he would have made this hall into a temple hall. It's the biggest hall of the place. They would have made the altar here. So he was already, he was a man of practical action. He was not a theoretical preacher. Whereas many of his god brothers who went to London, they went to the crown. Crown means the queen. And they saluted the queen and took a photo with the queen or with some people from London, lords and all. They took a photo and stayed for a while and they came back. Because they were just speaking theoretically. Whereas Prabhupada was a preacher and a man of practical action. He was always thinking on a very practical level. How can we give malas to people? How people can be initiated? How people can take this moment with great commitment? Like that he was thinking always. Saying, yeah. And Dr. Shastri is saying, he was also trying to catch me for this mission and I would always try to slip away. I did not think that he would do any miracle for spiritual revolution of the world, although that it's what he urged us. As Dr. Shastri said, I never could believe in those days that he will make a big revolution. Because he's just, some people talk a lot, no? They talk a lot but they can't do, so that's what he was thinking. But Prabhupada actually made a revolution eventually. He began lecturing regularly and chanting at various programs in Jhansi city. Sometimes several programs in one day. On Sundays he would lecture at the Sadhana Mandir, another day at the Gita Mandir, another day at the Theosophical Society, and regularly in people's homes. Abhay wanted people to do more than merely listen to him. He wanted them to do something. That is a practical action. Prabhupada was not happy if somebody says, Swamiji, I have come for the lecture, please give Ashirvad and they go back. No. Do something. Doing something means, you know, take malas and distribute, take books and distribute, you know, help in building a temple, and help in reaching out this message to people, become a missionary. That's what he urged. One day, Abhay invited Mr. Mitra to accompany him on foot to nearby village along with a kirtana party for preaching. But Mr. Mitra declined, being unable to get anyone to tend the shop for him. He had a shop, Mr. Mitra. So Prabhupada would immediately call people, you have a shop, you ask your servant to take care of the shop, you come with me, let's go on a Harinam. You would bring some of your friends and colleagues, let's go on a Harinam. I heard that in Jhansi also Prabhupada did Harinam in the streets. You take one, just one kartal and do Harinam. Whoever comes in the way, tell them, please join me, let's go together. Anybody and everybody he gathered and he took them. Like this Prabhupada was doing. See, these are all the activities of Prabhupada. See, Abhay prepared the League of Devotees charter. He wanted to begin vigorous, extensive preaching, following the example of his guru. Once he began to set his goals to paper, the project immediately began to expand beyond Jhansi, beyond India, Of course, the League of Devotees was for the younger people of Jhansi. They were already expressing great interest. But Abhay's charter described more than merely evening classes and kirtan. It was a broad scheme, including a description of the four orders of society, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and detailed plans to accommodate a worldwide religious movement. It included prospective members for a probationary period and spiritual initiation, economic reciprocation between individual members and the league, which means like life members, and boarding and lodging for the preachers, all these things. And then following the four regulative principles, no illegitimate connection with women, intoxicating habits, diets, everything Prabhupada had already written down. That means Prabhupada had the script for an international society at this stage itself with him. In his room in Radha Memorial, Abhay would rise daily at 4 a.m. and arouse his younger neighbor, Prabhakar Mishra. From 4 to 5, Abhay would write. At 5, he would talk, he would walk. And at 5:30, he would bathe. And then he would chant Hare Krishna till 7. And then he would give a class on Chaitanya Charitamrita Srimad Bhagavatam. And the only listener for the class was Prabhakar Mishra. Prabhupada speak to him. At 8 o'clock, he would return to his literary work again, typing. And after 10 o'clock, he would start preparing a bhoga. The afternoon, he would often go around Jhansi, meeting people and preaching, looking for anyone willing to take part in the League of Devotees. In the early evening, he would write until 7. When he would prepare for the kirtan and lecture, he would hold at one of the various places in city. That means every evening he had a program in some house or some institute or somewhere. He would have a program in the evening. Depending on where he was invited. And Abhay had no money for printing back to Godhead. But he was still writing and collecting the papers and keeping. So all this is proper preparation. So these are all in Jhansi, you see. Here Prabhupada writes, you see. Prabhupada wrote to government agencies asking them help to expand his genuine educational project. And he also tried to recruit preachers from among his friends. He wrote to his old college classmates, Rupen Mitra and all, inviting them to join. Please join my movement. He was calling his friends also. See what he's writing. My mission desires to train up 40 trainees. And I have asked help from the government for this useful educational purpose. I want that you may be one of the trainees in this regard. And you can ask Karthik Dada to join us in this spirit. You will know from the papers sent to you how we live and what we do, and thus you can make up your mind whether it is possible for you to join us. The first thing is that we want to train up some retired men in vanaprastha life and some young men in brahmacharya life. See, these are the two things Prabhupada wanted to do. To train some retired men in vanaprastha life and some young men in brahmacharya. I have no inclination for sannyas life, which is rather a difficult job for the fallen people of this age. The so-called sannyasis in red garments have spoiled the good name of such order of life. he says. And then again he has advertised, educational, wanted candidates from any nationality to qualify themselves as real Brahmins for preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Which goes to show, Prabhupada was not very eager to wear the dress of a sannyasi and gain respect from people. See, this goes to show his anyabhilashita shunyam. He had absolutely no desire for name, fame, glory, or the reputation or the privileges that will come along with sannyas order, carrying a danda. So many people will give me name, fame and everything. He even says here, I have no interest for sannyas. I am only interested in one thing. What is it? Preaching and helping people to practically apply the teachings of the scriptures. We have to understand the mood of Prabhupada. This has been his mood. Now, the last part is here, how he renounced his family. Some of his children were still unmarried and rent and bills had to be paid and all that. So when Prabhupada went home, Abhay began preaching, giving Bhagavata classes. just as he had been doing in Jhansi. But meanwhile, his wife and the family would take tea in a separate room. And then see, Prabhupada himself says here, I would as much as possible try to get my wife to work with me in spreading Krishna consciousness to get her help. But she was very determined that she wouldn't help me in spreading Krishna consciousness. So finally, after many years, I could understand she would not be any assistance to me. She was very attached to drinking tea. So although I was repeatedly telling her, this time I finally said, I want to have a nice Vaishnava family. You have to choose between me or tea. Either the tea goes or I go, he said. So in this way, I was even criticizing my own family. But because they were thinking I was husband or father, they could not take my instructions seriously. So she replied, give up tea drinking or give up my husband? Well, I will have to give up my husband then, she said. Of course, she thought I was joking. And one more mistake she did one day. In those days, there was barter system. She took the Bhagavatam set Prabhupada had kept at home and she gave it to the barter to buy some tea biscuits. Abhay was shocked. And then first he was feeling depressed. And then an absolute wave of resolution passed in his heart that his family life was finished. So Prabhupada told them that I am leaving now. And then he writes here, before leaving my family, I wanted to get all my sons and daughters married. But some of them disagreed. But then the time is up. Never mind whether they are married or not. Let them see to their own business. Suppose I die immediately, who will take care of my daughter? At that time we say, God will take care. Then why not now? He's asking. God will take care. My Guru Maharaj used to say, the renunciation of family life was like civil suicide. If you commit suicide, that is criminal. But renunciation of family is voluntary committing suicide. Now I am dead. Whatever you like, you do. So Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityaja, give up all religion. So family is Griha Dharma, the religion of family. But Krishna says, give that up, but attachment is there. And if we say that feeling of attachment has to be given up gradually, then we cannot do, because the attachment is there. But if God will take care of them, if I die immediately, then why not now? And then Prabhupada says, Prabhupada wanted to take a train to where? Anywhere, he says. Then he remembered some of his old god brother friends who were living in the ashram in Jhargram, south of Calcutta. So he went to the matha and they all welcomed him. Paramahamsa Maharaj, Damodar Maharaj, all of them welcomed Prabhupada. Because they had seen Prabhupada first time when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That time they were all there. Paramahamsa Maharaj, Damodar Maharaj and all. You see in this picture, it's the first meeting of Prabhupada with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Abhay explained to them, I couldn't fulfill my family needs, so now let me preach the message of Lord Chaitanya. Paramahamsa Maharaj saying, when Abhay arrived, he appeared very poor, starving. He had no means. He came alone to Matha. When he arrived, he only chanted Hare Krishna, nothing else. But then Prabhupada was... So Prabhupada chanted Hare Krishna continuously for many days actually. He also would speak on Bhagavad Gita in the evenings. So again he went back to League of Devotees, continuing it. Now this goes on. Now this time has... this is the time when Keshav Maharaj and others were telling him to take sannyas. So his guru also appeared in his dream and told him, one most important thing in Prabhupada's life, he fulfilled his duties to family very appropriately till the vanaprastha age. So, and at appropriate age, he renounced the family and he went for sannyas. And once he took sannyas, today, his seriousness and intensity became hundreds of times even more. And it is not a sudden thing. You can see how he has been living his life. One lesson we learned from this is the external dresses don't matter much. Somebody may be a brahmachari or grihastha or vanaprastha or sannyas. How much they are connected to the mission, how they are serving. But Prabhupada took sannyas because sannyas helps additionally, more even. So he took sannyas. And then subsequently, After Sannyas Prabhupada went to Radha Damodar temple, took a room, stayed there, and early morning got up, started writing commentaries to Bhagavatam, praying to Rup Sanatan and all the Goswamis, and then started getting prepared to go to West to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in English language to the people of the West. And what he worked hard before going abroad itself is very great, but after going to America he worked even more harder after Sannyas. He was not living in luxury comfortably. After Sannyas he put his sweat and toil even more, working hard. And what he did after Sannyas, if you see, you know, writing the Bhagavatam, nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion, and then taking to going to America establishing preaching in New York, living amongst the people in Bowery, most degraded population of West, very boldly, you know, putting his life at stake. This is the meaning of a preacher, taking risk for one's own even life. There was physical threat for him. One day Prabhupada was walking in Bowery early morning. So one or two devotees saw him from a distance, they came running. They immediately took Prabhupada to another place. They said, "Swamiji, in the early mornings it is not very safe to walk in the Bowery road because many hippies are lying on the ground and some of them have guns in their hand also and their fingers are very close to the trigger. While lying, phew, they may shoot also. And many people die also in those lanes." And Prabhupada said, I didn't know that there is so much danger. So it was like entering into lion's den. Because people were not only drunkards and chain smokers and drug addicts, womanizers, they were also very dangerous. There used to be murders. But Prabhupada was living amongst them, putting his life at great risk in Krishna's lotus feet. Staying amongst them and preaching. And Prabhupada knew that in case I am killed also, no problem. My guru will be happy that I have done my part. I come to preach. Yeah. Just like sometimes you might have seen this fighter aircrafts. When they fly in the sky, sometimes they go straight vertically. They come straight down. So they practice like that. Sometimes you will find Bombay and other places also. So sometimes while practicing, taking saucers and everything, sometimes the plane crashes also. The ground, on the spot they will be finished. There is no question of any saving of life. So going to America, out of the country, India, is condemned in the Vedic literatures as crossing the ocean. Shastra say a Brahmana should not cross the ocean. Why? Because when you cross ocean and go, there are mlechas, yavanas, chandalas living. In those places, they eat all kinds of things. They eat snakes, they make snake noodles, they make cockroach roast, all these things. They eat cows, they eat goats, pigs, dogs, everything people eat. Low class. Actually, a person's category is made based on what food he puts inside the mouth. So, somebody puts a dog inside, is called chanda. Somebody puts a cow inside, is called mlecha, like that. So, why Vedas condemn going out of India? Because when one associates with those people, one will become degraded. But Prabhupada, instead of associating with them, he gave them his association and made them all into devotees. So many of them. And then Prabhupada, these practical plans which he made in India in paper, he gave shape there when he went there. He gave shape to Harinam Sankirtan in the streets, you know, distributing his literature, especially back to Godhead in Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, reaching out to the people of the West. And then his disciples, Tamaksha Maharaj and many others, they put up the Greyhound buses with Radha Damodar bus party going all over America and storming. I will conclude with one interesting episode. Recently I was hearing from a devotee that in those days when Prabhupada returned to India in 1972, you know, people were mad to go to every Indian village to village, because in every town and village holy name should be ringing, you know. So this devotee was saying, he was in Baroda. He came to Krishna consciousness in 1981. So Prabhupada had already left the planet, but the fire he created and went was still on. So everybody was fired up. So he joined the Baroda temple and they would go in the van. Night they would be distributing till 12 o'clock. Morning they would get up at 4 and Mangalarti chanting everything in the van only while going. So he was telling they would go like that. And in those days, in 1981 to 88, he was distributing 6-7 years books. So when he would go in the villages and put up their Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when they would put this, 1,000 people would come immediately. Whole village will come, he said. And then they would open the back side of the van. Immediately the, he said, in within 1 hour, 1,000 Gitas will be gone. Because in those days in India, people didn't have this Bhagavad Gita as it is. A nicely hard-bound copy, colorful cover, with colorful pictures inside. So people would come and buy. So everybody would buy. Their sales was very high. So this devotee was telling about how... In fact, they would distribute from early morning to late night. He said our target was minimum 8 to 10 hours a day distribution. He was telling. In fact, they would sleep at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. So one such time when they were sleeping late and getting up in the morning, the driver dozed off and the whole van fell off the cliff. It just toppled. But he said in those days, the vehicles, the jeep was not so well designed. So as soon as the jeep toppled off, the glass flew off, you know, the front glass, it came out of this thing and it flew off. So both the driver and the front person, they both came out of the hole and the jeep went down, so they fell off. And I asked, who were all there? I asked, Vasugosh Prabhu was there in that same vehicle. He got a little scratch. And this devotee said, I was also there, he said. His name is Shrestha Prabhu in Kanpur. And then there was another devotee, third devotee also. So this article came in the Back to Godhead magazine also. So they were so mad after distributing books, they hardly slept. So he said, we don't know where we got Shakti from. Those 8 years, the way we were distributing books. So Prabhupada's purpose was accomplished. Prabhupada created that powerful wave of Krishna consciousness all over the world. He returned to India with all the Western disciples and established 3 prominent temples. Because Bombay is the economic capital of India. So Prabhupada established temple there. And Delhi is the political capital of India. So established temple there also. And Mayapur is spiritual capital of India. So established temple there. 3 places. Very nice, beautiful temples in his times. And Prabhupada knew that if these temples flourish, then all other parts of India also temples will come eventually. And it is happening now. So this is real sannyas. Real sannyas means not keeping anything for oneself, but using everything, body, mind, words, and Krishna service. Prabhupada is not only a visionary who gave nice plans to preach in paper, but he is a man of practical action. He's a warrior, spiritual warrior, who created a mass-scale change in the misguided civilization of the modern-day society. So he established the society ISKCON, which is a great threat to all the people who are propagating sense gratification. In the West, there are many companies who are promoting non-vegetarian food and intoxicants like cigarette and things like that. So they consider ISKCON a great threat. Because ISKCON has started hotels, Govinda restaurants all over America also. And the Govinda restaurants are flourishing now. People have a lot of faith in our temple restaurants. And I don't know how many of you know, in America, the Govinda's restaurant is such a huge business now. Someday it can become in par with McDonald's. They're going in a big way. There are people who are expanding their franchisee Govinda centers in many places in the West. And eventually it will come to India also. Like you see, packaged foods, you see, they sell this crackjack biscuits and all that, or some fryams and everything they package. So eventually there will be ISKCON devotees who will be making such kind of packaged foods, which will become more popular than the outside packaged foods also. And so everything started with Prabhupada when he made this revolution. And many people, like when I went to West 3-4 years ago, when I went in the flight or in the train, wherever I turned around, I saw people eating salads in the morning. People eating fruits and salads. And many people are turning from non-vegetarian to vegetarian. people are changing. And this kind of culture, Prabhupada showed people on a very practical level how the Vedic culture is harmless, it is very natural, and it can bring you closer to God, it can give you happiness here and right now. And then when you lead such a life, after your death you will go to a better destination. So our ISKCON temples are frequented by people of all religions. They happily come with an open mind to receive the knowledge given. Prabhupada presented knowledge in a very, very non-sectarian way. With one God in the center, who is the supreme controller, supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer of the whole universe, on all living beings, being his children. And dharma is to love him and serve him with all our heart and soul. To the best of your understanding, you understand him as Allah or Jehovah or Krishna. If you are willing to hear a deeper understanding, we will give you a deeper understanding. Otherwise, the presentation of Prabhupada is completely non-sectarian. So we should learn from Prabhupada today, his missionary spirit, his vigor for reaching out this message to the suffering humanity, and his ability to transform his spiritual desires into practical activities. As he did in this moment. Many of us actually, we also have desires, but we have to translate our desires into actions, as he did, for the welfare of the world, and in a very tangible way, reaching out to the people, to nook and corner of the world. Prabhupada said, I am one old man, how much can I do? But you are all youngsters, he said. You can do much more. But actually he said he is an old man, but he was not an old man at all. Many young people felt they are old actually in front of him. So, very auspicious day today, you can remember. So there is an explanation of Prabhupada taking sannyas in the Gaudiya Math, which you all can read yourself. But Keshav Maharaj and Bhakti Saranga Maharaj very much inspired Prabhupada that you are already qualified to take sannyas. In fact, we are all getting a lot of inspiration from you. They said, you take sannyas and you preach and we will follow you. They said like that. So they encouraged him. And Prabhupada took sannyas. The first class, he was asked to give class, he gave in English. Generally in Gaudiya Math, the classes would be in Bengali language. But Prabhupada gave a class in English. Why? Anybody knows? To fulfill the order of his spiritual master. His guru told him that preach this message to the people of West in what language? So Prabhupada is practicing now only. A minute left to sannyas, it's like a mock presentation now. What I'm going to present in America now, one sample presentation I'll give here only in English. So, Prabhupada is a very great role model for all of us. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.